Good morning to each of you. My wife and I both have enjoyed this week with y'all. I could say I would have been more comfortable this week if somebody else was speaking. It's some of the rest of you probably can identify with me. It's not, I have a friend of mine, he just loves getting up and sharing, and I thank God for people like that. It's not quite something comfortable for me. Maybe it should be, but maybe it's just our makeup. We're all made different. Titled the message this morning, Called to Purity. This water and glass here beside me looks clear, looks pure. I trust it is. Good, pure water. Water to be pure, I'm sure. Free from impurities that may harm us and make us sick or whatever. And a lot of money today is spent on pure water. People are very concerned about that. When I was young, and at least some of you older ones might know what I'm talking about, we had a cistern. How many here know what a cistern is or had one? Okay. All right. Then, there was a guy would come occasionally when we didn't get enough of rain, maybe, to keep it filled, and he would put some spring water, I think it was, in the cistern, so we'd have plenty of water. We didn't have a well until I was maybe 10, somewhere around there. And cistern, you got your gutters, and you try to keep everything cleaned out, but the water from out of the gutters would go into these charcoal boxes. I don't know what the correct name was, but anyway, I remember my dad putting charcoal in there, keeping it filled. And every so often, we got down in there to clean the cistern out, and that was quite the job. I was young. I remember getting there already, helping to clean. But it was well worth the effort to keep our water supply clean. Keeping fresh charcoal in, the filter boxes was also a very important thing we had to do. And today we would say those charcoal filter boxes are old-fashioned, they're outdated. But they did their job if we kept them filled with charcoal. And spiritually speaking, too often in our day, we don't see the value of filter boxes. We don't even concern ourselves. Our cisterns cleaned out, and the filth of the world has contaminated us many times spiritually to the point that some are weak and sickly, and some have no life at all left, spiritually speaking. Very negative, and I thank God there are many today that are concerned about keeping themselves pure, spiritually pure, and are careful in keeping themselves from the filth of this old world. The Apostle Paul's admonition to Timothy and us today as well, keep thyself pure, as found in 1 Timothy 5:22. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, Matthew 5:8. Keep thyself pure speaks of personal responsibility. A personal responsibility we each have in this matter. As church leaders, we have a responsibility to work to protect the purity of the church. We preach, teach, there's also discipline, those who err from the faith, but all that alone cannot keep your heart pure. It's a responsibility that each one of us must take seriously. Jesus makes it clear how important this call to purity is for us. If we want to see God, to be with Him at the end of life, we must be pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So it's a very important subject. One of the sobering reminders of or signs of decay in our country is the indifferent attitude we see in our day towards immorality. It used to be immorality had a public stigma, and but today it seems that has been lost in society, and is even such stuff as immoral things are encouraged in our day. Been a lot of change in my own lifetime. I, for a number of years, rode the public school bus, and there was two girls who lived down the road. The situation, their parents stayed together, but there was not, both were pretty loose. And there was a stigma there, and I felt bad for the girls. They had nothing in it, but they were made fun of already because of what their parents, the involvement of their parents. And so there was a stigma that was, and now today, it's on every side. No longer the shame. Like Sodom and Gomorrah, many in our land have become bold in their immorality. Pride Day, you know what, you've heard that term. Sodom and Gomorrah paid a high price. We need to remember that. So will such ungodly men and women today. I understand the Roman Empire. One time I read something on that. It fell because of internal moral corruption. It wasn't an enemy from without that caused it to, might say, yeah, fall apart. It was an enemy from within. When God's laws are mocked, cast aside, such will be the case of any nation in time. Disease, crime, broken, crippled homes, weak leadership, all are traveling companions of immorality. And we know the media for years, through movies, magazines, radio, television, internet, have been pumping the ears and eyes of many full of filth and corruption. Modesty, purity has been scorned and tossed to the wind, and we're reaping, I believe, the whirlwind of moral corruption in our day. Yes, we are. Job 4:8 warns, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. God's law of sowing and reaping is still in place. They still apply today. And I believe that our Lord Jesus, the church would be an oasis of purity in the midst of a desert of immorality. It's important we who are God's children drink only from wells of living water and not the dirty, contaminated cisterns all around us, so that we can be refreshed and equipped to help those who come to us who are thirsting after the life-giving water found only in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Yes, God requires purity of his children. Keep thyself pure. It's a command. It's for all who want to be a part of God's family. I'd like to read a few verses from Psalm 24, verses 3 through 5. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from God of his salvation. If we want a relationship with God and desire his blessing on our lives, we need to have clean hands and pure hearts. Colossians 3, 5 and 6 challenges there. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil desires, evil concupiscence or evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry, from for which sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Speaking of the wrath of God, it comes on such. Purity is possible through the sanctifying work of Jesus Christ. Pure holy living can only be experienced by those who are born again. Yeah, we talk about good moral man who maybe never professed Christianity. I believe if you examine their life closely, there would be things there that would come to light and will one day. Pure holy living, I believe, can only be experienced by those who are born again. Only a new life in Christ can empower us for victory over the flesh. And he knows a lot goes on in a person, in their mind. We can't see that. There's some things we can see. There's some things we can't see. Resolutions, support groups, self-help books, church membership is not enough. Purity demands a close relationship with Jesus Christ, a yieldedness to his spirit. The Pharisees and many others, and many people today have tried, they tried to be perfect or pure through human effort. It didn't work for them, and it won't work for us today. Paul speaks of them going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Romans 10:3. Without Christ, all our efforts will be in vain. Purity in all of daily living. Purity in thought and purpose. Verse in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I think we own a little one somewhere, but I had an old-timey hourglass sitting here this morning that you could see. And the top chamber is full of sand. And I don't know why they called hourglass. Maybe originally that's what it was. I took an hour for that to get down. Some of them are, you know, the little small ones don't take as long. But top chamber filled with sand. And if I had it sitting there or turned it where the top was full of sand, it would only be a matter of time until all that sand was in the bottom chamber. It would be filled, the bottom chamber would in time be filled with the same sand. So it is with our minds. Let us remember that. What is allowed up here is going to have an influence on our character. If our minds harbor evil thoughts, impure motives, before long, our words and actions betray the filth that is filtering down. And you see it all around today. Purity in daily living requires I bring every thought in line with what Christ desires to see in me. Yes, it does. And we'll avoid much struggles and problems. You can try to work on issues that you have and it doesn't seem to be working. Well, check your thought life. What are you thinking about? What do you let your mind dwell on? I know we all, the devil brings minds. We can't control every thought that comes. What do we do with it? Do we keep dwelling on it? Do we ask the Lord to help us to get it off our mind? Do we focus on something else, pray about it? Or we just let it circle around up there? Purity in daily living requires I bring every thought in line with what Christ desires to see in me. For in Philippians 4:8, Paul speaks concerning what we should think on, things that are true. Look at that list. It will help you. Things that are true, things that are honest, pure, lovely, of a good report. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. Genesis 6:5, we see God was grieved with man in Noah's day. He saw that the every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So it is with many today. An uncontrolled thought life will in time become a garbage pit of filth that pushes out anything else that's good or pure. I know a young man from years ago. He was reading some books that he shouldn't have. He seemed to think he was strong enough to handle the ungodly books that he was reading, that it would not hurt him because he was strong enough to handle it. I remind him of Philippians 4:8 there, which shows us what things we should think on. Later, he did acknowledge he was wrong. Never fall for those lies from Satan that you can feed on such and it won't do you any harm or destroy you, to think that you're strong enough to handle. Use of electronics today has made it easy to access all kinds of ungodly material. Access to a lot of that filth, and I have no idea what all is on there, but I know there's a lot there from what I hear. Years ago, it took more effort to come by some of that. Today, it's just a click away. That does not excuse us. Our conference, South Atlantic, that I'm part of, has encouraged us to use internet filters that restrict access to inappropriate material, to use passwords, blocks, and so forth to protect ourselves. We also are told we must go beyond the external safeguard and commit ourselves wholly to Jesus, aligning our deepest desire with his will, and that we need the ongoing support and accountability of our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We had started back sometime years ago, accountability groups, and we meet, the group you're in meets each quarter. And how much of help? I don't know, but I'm sure knowing you're accountable is a help to us. When we drive down the highway, we want a vehicle with good brakes, do we not? We want a vehicle that the steering is fine. We want some good tires on it and things like that. And at times, we can be thankful for somebody in the back seat that hollers a warning and spares us from an accident. We need the input of others, brothers and sisters in the Lord. For our spiritual safety, we need safeguards in place. We think about that, like I say, when we travel the roads in an automobile. We need it with this as well. And we need accountability, as I said, with each other to disaster in the use of the electronic media of our day. And I would say, unless you don't have a telephone or anything, All of us use some type of electronic device or devices that could become a snare to us spiritually if we use improperly. All of us need to keep our guard up. What about purity in speech? Ephesians 5:4, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Well, maybe that's where our problem is. You know, sometimes we think, well, we're doing pretty good. We don't have a problem in that area, but there's other areas too. Purity in all of life. Someone has made a catalog of things which do not belong to pure speech. And this is what they put. Idle words, bywords, slang phrases, vulgar language, profanity, gossiping. A pure heart is a must for purity in speech. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Things we think on, dwell on, it's going to affect the things that come out of my mouth. I believe it requires daily effort on our part to purify our speech. It may be old habits, just hard. Find yourself slipping up. Continue to work on it. Pray about it. Ask God to help you. Ask others to help make you purity in heart. What do we have our affections set on? Colossians 3:2. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Had Lot done that, he didn't have all the scripture given to him we have today. But had Lot done that, so his family would not have been, his family would have been spared the destruction that came upon them in Sodom and later on too. Someone has said, keep your affections centered upon things that are pure, true, and righteous and holy, and your mind, tongue, and hands and feet will respond. Keep your affections centered upon things that are pure, true, righteous, and holy, and your mind, tongue, and hands and feet will respond. Purity brings no regrets, leaves no remorse, and helps one to live a noble and worthwhile life. One pastor said of the guilt of immorality, many times I have listened to confessions of impurity, and those confessions were mixed with groans. Sighs and tears, regrets and sorrow. He says there are no bargain counters for the purchase of impurity. The price is always high. Mention that again. There are no bargain counters for the purchase of impurity. The price is always high. Purity in companionship. Choose your companions from among those who are pure in thought and mind. Live a pure life worthy of their companionship. In 1 Corinthians 15:33 gives us warning, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners, or bad company might say corrupts good character. As parents, we need to be careful in what company you let your children in. Help them to choose wisely. Daniel saw the wisdom of choosing godly companions who were strong in their faith, and they were, I believe, a great help to him to stand true. No doubt their encouragement prayers helped carry him through the difficult times he faced there in Babylon. And no doubt he was an encouragement to them as they were Jewish captives there in Babylon, in a heathen land. Choose friends that will build you up and not tear you down. Purity in social relationships. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Ask ourselves the question, what I'm doing, does it glorify God? Colossians 3:17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Ask ourselves the question, and what I'm doing, does it bring glory to Jesus' name? Youth and aged alike, remember we will one day, we must answer to God for how we conducted ourselves in courtship, social relationships with others. I think it's important as parents teach our children, even at young age, the importance of keeping a proper reserve toward the opposite sex, and we must conduct ourselves in like manner. Important for the young and the old. 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Keep yourself from yielding to the sinful passions of lust. Don't spoil your testimony and rob yourself of life's best. 1 Peter 2:11, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Immorality destroys spiritual life because it is sin. It is an uncompromising enemy that seeks to come between us and God, to destroy our relationship with God and damn our souls for all eternity. Proverbs 6, verse 27. Can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? The answer to that is no. There is always many men and women, both young and old, as well, have thought they could play with fire, indulge in immoral behavior, and get by or escape paying a cost. That thought is as foolish as saying I can reach into a campfire and take out burning logs and lay them in my lap, my clothes not get burned. Although the guilt of sin of such immoral behavior can be repented of. A guilt for that can be taken care of by repentance. The reproach has a way of following us. Now, I'm sure you heard it before, but the story is told of a man who jumped out of a 10-story building, and as he went by each floor, he said, "All is going fine so far." He failed to consider the end that was soon to come. You can play with fire, you can live an immoral life, and say all is fine, but remember its end. It's crushing, it's bitter, and eternal in consequences. God will not be mocked. Purity and conscience. Your conscience is a monitor that God has given you to sound, I believe, a warning in time of spiritual danger. Keep it pure and tender. By feeding on the pure word of God and carefully heeding when our conscience speaks to us, properly trained and obeyed, and it enables us to be a safeguard for us in the hour of temptation. Paul says in Acts 24:16, "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." May that this morning be our desire. What are some ways we can promote the cause of purity? Number one, by setting proper examples for others. Our conduct has an impact on others. May it be good to help them. Number two, by having a consistent testimony. One immoral action, even if confessed, hurts our witness. Number three, by maintaining the gospel standard of purity in social circles. Keep safeguards in place. Do not compromise your convictions to be accepted by others. I think it's important also we keep our homes. Some read more than others, but we're all going to at times be reading. Keep our homes supplied with God-honoring literature for our children, our youth, and aged as well. My wife's done a good job of buying books over there, good books for our children to read. I know from experience you're going to read, and there wasn't a whole lot of good books around when I was growing up. In the public school setting, there was books there, and I at times read some of them. So, yeah, we want to promote purity. We want to keep a right focus. Keep good literature around. Keep our minds occupied in something upbuilding. Someone has said it is the idle brain next to the sin-infected brain that the devil reaps his great richest harvest. Thinking of the list here I have of rewards of purity. Purity makes you worthy of the best in life. Not as the world views best, but as God views it for you. Purity makes you trustworthy. Purity qualifies you for Christian service. Purity gives a true perspective of values. Purity strengthens physically, mentally, and spiritually. Purity gives real joy and happiness. Purity gives you the best people for friends. Purity is all gain, it's nothing to lose. Especially when we look at the eternal consequences. Purity keeps open the door to God in eternity. Again, Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Remember, God's judgment is upon them, those who scorn his call to purity. Under Old Testament law, immorality at times carried a death penalty. Leviticus 20, verse 10, the adulterer and adulteresses shall surely be put to death. The law of death by stoning for those guilty of adultery. And God, we know, looked at it, destroyed the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities close by, making them an example, it says, for all who live ungodly today. Well, what if we have failed? Can we be forgiven of impure living? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 6. Can we be forgiven? The answer is yes, thank God. 1 Corinthians 6, I'd like to read verse 9 through 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then, verse 11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified and justified in the name of Jesus by the Spirit of God. What great forgiveness. Can we be forgiven? Yes. Thank God for that. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God for his forgiveness and purifying work. He's told us he's coming back. He will soon return for his pure bride, not for a corrupt bride, a pure bride. Where you will I be ready for that day when he returns. I'm not sure this morning you know what God's been showing you in this area. Have you kept your mind and heart pure before God? A reminder that impure living must be confessed and also forsaken for us to be victorious and have peace with God. Where are you this morning? Not where is somebody else, where are you this morning in all that? And I would not feel right, I guess, in not giving an invitation this morning. So we want to give an invitation. If God is speaking, has spoken to you this morning in this area, or some unconfessed sin in your life, whatever it may be, we encourage you to acknowledge that now by standing. I know the victory can be found by confession and public acknowledgement go a long way in helping you, I believe, to stay free. Publicly acknowledging that before God and man. So if our song leader wouldn't lead us in a verse, an invitation, you feel God speaking, I'd ask you to do what is right and best for your life and stand to your feet and acknowledge that need.